Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 90 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. How are you doing today, Tony?
I am okay.
It's a gloomy day in the Chicago area.
It is gloomy.
Gloomy. We had a horrible hot streak. It was over 100 degrees for like a week. And then we've had a bunch of rain. We had a rainstorm so bad last week that everybody lost power.
I didn't lose power.
Everybody lost power, even
not.
You.
Nope.
You lost power in ways
maybe
that you
some
don't even
internal
know about.
Power. Maybe some of my own internal power.
That's something you need to take up with your nutritionist. I can't help you with that. But
put my hat on backwards so I don't hit the mic.
Plus, here. You're working on your punk character, aren't you?
No, I'm just.
Aren't you auditioning for the role of the gas station attendant for the new Fisher-Price gas station movie?
No, actually, I am now a gas station attendant.
You really are. Well, I think you need to turn that a little bit sideways and get yourself some freckles, and then you'll be all set.
My apologies to anyone with freckles.
And a sideways hat. It's a very specific
one. No. They have it coming. They have a choice.
So what's going on? Do we have some good...
We have lots of stuff
actually. Oh, boy.
First of all, let's give shout-outs to some new listeners.
Okay.
Let's start with Coco.
Coco!
Coco, I believe, is...
French.
From France.
One of our French listeners. Hi, Coco.
Yeah. She says... Well, let me say it in her words. I'm a quiet listener since your first podcast with the awesome Todd Stashwick. And she said, sorry, I'm a hardcore SPN addicted fan.
That would be Supernatural.
How was that SPN?
Supernatural.
Okay. Love your podcast, even if I'm not a gamer. And for a European girl, it's sometimes hard to follow. But about movies, TV shows, I can follow you guys. By the way, I'm kind of disappointed with Falling Skies. How about you? It's kind of too cliche for my tastes. Downloading new episode now. And then we both said hello to her, gave her a little shout out, and she was very excited.
Coco, je t'aime beaucoup.
Sure.
Merci pour écouter le programme.
Oh, very nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
I don't know if I said that right, but I'm sure she'll correct me if I didn't.
So welcome, Coco. We also have another listener, thanks to Dave, Hal.
How's it going, Hal?
Hal is actually a...
He's a comic book artist, right?
He is. And he was just at Comic-Con.
Yes. Oh, he was on a panel with our buddy, Todd.
With Todd Stashwick, yeah.
Now, Todd was promoting Devil Inside. They just finished Chapter 1, which was every Wednesday for the last year. And now they're going to be starting on Chapter 2, which actually means I have some more work to do on that because...
So we better hurry this up. Is that what you said?
I built the technology that runs the comic book thing on their on his website, and I
fancy.
I need to figure out how to do a new chapter now. Uh-huh. So, but I think
can't
I know
you
how.
Just do what you did before, but do it again?
I think that's basically what I'm going to do. Yeah. Well, here's what it is. It's the system allows you to...
I expect a percentage of whatever's coming your way for
that. No, the system allows you to have different comic books. Uh-huh. So I think we're just going to do Chapter 2 as a new comic book and do it that way. So I don't know. I still have to do some work on that, but I think that's how I'm going to do it.
Hal is actually working on the first digital comic from Heavy Metal Magazine.
Oh, that's cool.
It's called Gates.
Okay.
And if you go to our fan page...
It's about the founder of Microsoft?
I believe not.
Oh.
But you know,
you
possibly.
Never know. Stranger
maybe
things.
There's some symbolism there that we haven't
things.
Picked up on. But there are links to it on our fan page. So do Hal a favor.
Yeah.
Hal's a new listener, so let's support him.
You do Hal a favor, you're doing us a favor.
Exactly.
Okay? Hal's a bigwig in the comics industry. Well, he's with Heavy Metal Magazine, or... He's doing something that's a spinoff from there. What does it say there?
It's Heavy Metal Magazine's first online comic.
Okay, but what did he have some involvement with Heavy Metal before that?
I have not called Hal.
Oh,
or interviewed him either.
I don't know if Dave wrote that on there.
Wrote that he is the writer and creator of Heavy Metal Magazine's first online comic, Gates.
Okay, all right, sounds good. And where can people go to see that?
The links are on our fan page.
Okay, so go to our
fan
page.
But I can say, I mean, one of them's easy.
Yeah.
gates.heavymetal.com.
That one's really easy.
Very easy.
If you can't figure that out, turn in your internet user.
But we'd like
card.
You to visit the fan page as well. See, it's trying to get people to the fan
page. I understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome, Hal. We're glad you're listening.
Stritch has a life question.
Ooh, go for it.
Why do some mailboxes sit on the edge of the yard versus on the side of the house versus the end of the walk?
Could you not have done this research before we started talking about this?
What's the research? Really, this is something you want to research?
Well, there's got to be an answer.
Yeah, the convenience for the mailman. Some areas have where the mailman doesn't leave his truck, so he does it with the mailboxes on the side of the
Actually, though, road. I don't think the mailman has anything to do with it. I think it's the developer, because the developer chooses whether or not to put a mailbox somewhere, you know, when the house is built. Like some places,
especially, it seems we do have to do some research.
Well, no, I'm saying especially multi-dwelling places like townhouses and coach homes and stuff like that. A lot of times they'll have a communal mailbox, you know, area where all the mailboxes are in one place. That was the developer's decision.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes they'll put mailboxes.
But don't they have to follow some kind of like what the code is for that area?
I don't think so, because even in the last place that we lived, we had communal ones and then we had clusters. Where people
clusters.
Mailbox clusters.
Honey nuts clusters
right.
of mailboxes.
So I don't know.
I mean, I'm just thinking about the area I grew up in. We had the mailbox down at the end of the drive.
Right.
And everyone in our neighborhood had the mailbox down at the end of the drive. I don't remember anyone having a mailbox up at their house.
Yeah.
So maybe that was something that was necessary by some kind of code.
I don't think so, because you can still buy house mounted mailboxes.
So even if I'm sure they're available, but I would imagine in that neighborhood, because if I remember correctly, the mailman never left his truck. He would just drive up to the mailbox and put the mail in.
Yeah.
So
he's got the weird truck with the steering wheel on the other side.
Right.
That dude could drive in England so easily.
Right.
Except on the other side of the road.
Okay. Now we're going to take Kim.
That was a good one, Stretch. Keep them coming.
Yeah, that was good. And we're going to, I guess we should do some research on that.
Yeah, let's do some
research. We didn't really have, you know what? We asked them for life questions and then we don't really
I'm
going to
look it up
answers.
While you're talking about Kim Z.
You mean while we give Kim slash Beth a little hard time here?
Yes, because
for assuming that one of us had not seen The Goonies.
What's up with that?
Of course we've seen The Goonies.
We've both seen The Goonies. Do you want me to name a Goonie? Okay, Gary. Gary Goonie. I told you that story.
Yeah. So yes, Kim, we both see The Goonies. So, here was her, she said she was so flabbergasted, she didn't even pick up on which one of us it was. Well, that's because it was neither of us.
Yeah.
She said it was appalling and she wants us to remedy the situation immediately. I'll tell you what, we remedied that situation when Goonies came out.
Yeah, exactly. Eons
she says,
ago.
Otherwise the Fratellis will come for us and put our hand in a blender.
That is not going to happen.
Luckily,
to
there's no
of
chance
us.
Of that.
Apparently, that will happen to our third co-host, who is a ghost who has never seen The Goonies.
Yes. Maybe that's who she's referring
to. I wonder what gave her that impression, though.
I don't know. We also want to thank Dave and Stretch, who extended invitations to Google+. Did you ever...
You know, I did go and sign up, but then when I tried to add both of them to my friends, it wasn't working.
Like, perhaps they don't want to be friends with you.
No. I mean, the system wasn't working. Like, I couldn't even... add anyone to my friends.
So what you're saying is Google+ is an epic fail.
I don't know if I would say that, and we'll actually have more on that later.
Oh. I didn't mean to jump ahead without reading. Are you researching mailboxes?
I am.
Well, that's all I have for mail and shout-outs.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy for all that mail. Keep it coming.
Yeah.
Stretch, more life questions.
No matter what mailbox it may end up in.
Oh, and on that note.
Call back.
Let's segue.
Call back.
Let's segue right into video games.
Let's go. I have played Red Faction Armageddon.
Okay.
If you remember two episodes a long time ago, I was a big fan of Red Faction Guerrilla.
Okay.
And
this
is just
where all the gorillas have now become extinct?
No. So, this takes place on Mars.
Oh.
And that's where like most of...
More
everything.
About Mars later, ladies and gentlemen.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. See how it all just comes full
together.
Circle. Yeah.
Synchronicity.
That was a game where just about everything was destructible. So suppose you're in an area with
I remember that.
Buildings or structures
them.
And someone's like shooting at you. Rather than like shooting them, you could just destroy the building and kill them that way.
Yeah.
And it was open world. So, I mean... There was stuff you had to do, but you could do it at your own leisure and however you want to do it in different missions. This is more linear.
Okay.
And that's my issue with it. It's fun. It doesn't focus as much.
I wonder
much.
Why they would do that, because usually it's the opposite. Like, usually a developer has a game that's kind of linear, and then the next one, they make it much more open world.
This one so far. And I played a couple hours. I mean, it's fun. I'm having fun with it. But they don't focus as much on the destruction as they do. It's more of like a shooter.
Huh.
And the destruction was the part I really loved about the first one.
Yeah.
But this one hasn't gotten great reviews, so And without having read the reviews,
it's gotten another not great review.
I will guess that it's because of my complaints right there.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's still fun. I'm still having fun with it. And it's still, the graphics in that still seem a little, I won't say last generation, but you know, they don't live up to some of the stuff that's out now.
Right.
So
the only thing that I've played is I actually started playing World of Warcraft a little bit again. And I found that that one of the problems with MMOs is that, at least most of the ones that I've played, is that unless you're in a guild or a group or something like that, it's really hard to do the high level stuff in the game because you have to do them in groups. Otherwise, you can't do anything. You know [S2] Right. [S1] What I mean? So I actually find that a lot of times I enjoy the whole process of leveling a character more than some of the later game stuff where you actually get all the cool trinkets.
Swag.
And yeah, exactly. So I decided to start a Horde character because I've never been through the Horde storyline for any of the races. Uh-huh. You know, I've played a couple Horde characters for two or three levels each.
Now you're saying Horde, correct?
Horde, H-O-R-D-E.
Not whore.
Right.
Okay.
These are not characters who have sold themselves out for sex.
Right.
Yeah. No, Horde is the opposing faction to the Alliance. And I've never played through the Horde storyline, so I've never seen a lot of the Horde locations that are, unique to the Horde and stuff. So I think I might play through this character. I don't have a lot of time to play, but every couple of days I play for an hour or two maybe, and so far it's kind of interesting. I mean, I commented before about one of the things that I like about this game is how when you play the Horde, it's not like you're evil going around eating babies and stuff like that. It's just different goals and agendas. And the Alliance and the Horde happen to be opposing each other in various ways.
Right.
But you can still play a good character who's in the Horde. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just that they're usually uglier and, creepier looking. Which I think says something about our society.
And Hordes in general.
And whores in general. But that's only from hearsay. But yeah, that's the only thing I played. I did see a demo for a platform game on Steam that looked kind of interesting. I don't remember the name of it offhand, but I might try
that.
That's
a wonderful
report
wonderful
on it next time. Well, no, I just
there.
Wanted to bring up the fact that every once in a while I feel like playing, like I miss the fact that there are no big platform games anymore that like everybody's into, Super Mario kind of thing. Cause those games are really fun. And then every once in a while one comes along where I remember there was Braid. And it seemed like it was going to be really great, and it wasn't really great.
Is Limbo on the PC?
Should I try
it's
to
on
find
Steam.
Limbo?
Okay. You should.
I'll check it out.
Lots of fun.
I'll see if I can find the old Limbo. I don't know. By the way, this episode brought to you by Yumbly. Search restaurants and menus to find exactly what you're hungry for. Yum. Go to Yumbly.com and find places in Chicago that I bet you never even knew existed.
Yes.
Yumbly.com.
I'm hungry.
Go on. Go on. Thank you.
Isn't that the tagline?
It's part of it. Part of the logo.
Miscellaneous, ready. Microsoft is releasing a pretty cool limited edition Star Wars Xbox 360 console when it releases the Kinect Star Wars game.
Pretty cool? Don't you mean incredibly cool? They should have actually, what would have been really cool is if they had actually made, instead of just putting like the R2-D2 skin on it, they should have actually made it look like R2-D2. That would have been cool. Because you could have had a little CD drawer slide out of it,
because
it's round anyway. So that's really what they should have done.
That's hard to fit in your shelves, though.
Yeah, but the current one isn't exactly.
It's better than the.
Yeah, it's better than the PlayStation.
No, I guess
not really. You can't really stack stuff on it.
Right. On either. Well, they have vents. You can't stack them on either.
Right. And same with the Wii.
Right.
They're all like horrible as far as that goes. But anyway.
Well, the console is designed with the same colors and markings as R2-D2, while the gold controller is inspired by C-3PO.
Yes.
Yeah. Looks cool.
It does look cool. Is there anything tech-wise that's different about it?
I don't
it just
believe so.
Aesthetic.
No.
Yeah.
Just aesthetically.
And it will come with the Kinect?
It comes with the Kinect and the Star Wars game. I believe it is. Oh, damn it.
$1,000.
No, I want to say it's like $400.
That's expensive. That's expensive because, I mean, how many people? Well, I guess there are a lot of people who play games that don't have a Xbox 360.
That does seem like a lot. You know what? I'll double check that price.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars, EA has begun taking pre-orders for the highly anticipated MMO Star Wars The Old Republic. In fact, the number of pre-orders has already broken the record for the most pre-orders ever.
For any game? Ever?
It's definitely any EA game.
Is that a dig against EA?
No, that's a dig at me for not researching to find out if it's ever or just for EA.
Okay.
Though no exact release date has been announced, EA has assured the game will be released during the 2011 holiday season.
That would be this year's holiday season.
And I assume the holiday being Christmas.
And not Lincoln's birthday.
Because that's past.
And they missed it. Is it true that Microsoft is doing
That's the way we should report everything.
Just back and forth. Is it true that Microsoft is doing a special edition Xbox with an Abraham Lincoln skin?
Actually made of Abraham Lincoln skin.
Oh, God. That's horrid and gruesome.
Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman in the upcoming Arkham City game, has stated that there will be additional episodes released as DLC after the release of the game.
Speaking of DLC, Fallout New Vegas just got some new DLC, for those of you still playing that game.
Nobody. You're speaking to no one.
It was too boring,
right?
When is this
Portal DLC supposed to come out?
It was too boring, right?
Yeah, probably.
You played it!
I know. I didn't like it.
Because it was boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't understand what you're pretending, like, you're feigning ignorance on the subject.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What are you doing? You're going to make my head explode.
You know, you would think we'd been drinking, but actually we're doing this earlier than we normally do.
Right.
Maybe it's...
We're going to actually be doing some drinking in the middle of the show. I need to now.
Trying to make me go insane. Okay, this is very touching. We always hear about people saying how video games are bad for the youth of today. Well, here's a story on the contrary. Therapists who treat children with autism and cerebral palsy are making great advances using specific video games on multi-touch tablets. For years, therapy consisted of repetitive exercise to sharpen physical and social skills, but the recent use of tablet gaming is having much more success and is the leading advancement in treatment.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I have in my extended family a family member who's 16 years old, and he has some mental issues from childbirth, and he's not autistic, but he has some autistic like, you know, aspects to him and his personality and how his brain works.
I think you're
going to
make a joke here.
I'm not making a joke. No, and I'm just saying it's really interesting that he loves to play video games, and there's, you know, because he'll probably never drive a car or anything like that.
Right.
But he loves to play video games, and the thing that is interesting about the whole multi-touch and touch tablets and everything is it is such a direct connection to whatever the subject is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, my son is 3. He can't play video games like on a console, but he plays video games on the iPad all the time. Like, that's one of his favorite things to do.
Right.
So it is really cool.
Is it that you won't let him use the console?
No, it's just that they don't have the coordination yet.
I know.
Well, I don't know. You don't have kids.
I know how you are with your things, too, so.
Oh, well, he can get his own. I've got an old Atari 2600 that he can play until he can afford to buy his own Xbox. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I should hook up the 2600 to a TV and let him play some of those old games, because they're so much more simple.
Yeah.
You know, you just got the one joystick, the one button.
You know, even after playing iPad games, you'd be like, what's this crap?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, because some of those iPad games are phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, they like, he has these, oh, I'm going to get it wrong. There's some developer, so it's something like Tokidoki or something like that. And they make all these really cool games for little kids. They are gorgeous. And they're like weird. I think it's a Japanese developer. And so there's like this weird kind of Japanese
aesthetic. It's not Takeduki, is it?
What?
It's not Takeduki, is it?
Okay. You know what? This is a family show.
Is it? Is it really?
It is when I want to change the subject.
And lastly.
I think I'm going to do the whole show with my Dean Martin voice. Just to further propagate myth that we're drinking during the program.
That won't get old. The Nintendo.
Hey, it worked for him for decades.
The Nintendo 3DS will get a price reduction next month to help sales. The price is falling from $250 to $170. Now it's only painful instead of excruciating. By the way, this is your statement, so what does that mean?
Well, I'm just saying, $250 for a handheld gaming system? You know, a handheld gaming system, unless it...
I think that's what the PS Vita is going to be when it comes out. I'm really tempted to get that when it comes
out.
Really? Yeah, I like
you know,
all the
you
stuff
have,
I'm reading
but
with.
You have a bad habit of like dropping a lot of coin on stuff that you get bored with after like 3 weeks and never use again.
3 weeks is being very generous.
It is being very generous. I'm trying to make you not look so bad in this one.
No, you're right. I'm an early adopter.
Can I just quote my favorite Dean Martin line from Cannonball Run when he goes
go,
up to the
ahead.
Two?
We'll end our segment
the
with
two,
this.
The two girls, Molly Picone and what's her name from Maude? Adrienne Barbeau, dressed in their like spandex jumpsuits with cleavage up the wazoo, sitting in a Lamborghini. And Dean Martin goes up to him dressed as a priest and he goes, "Oh, that's a good looking piece. And cunningly disguised so it won't look like a racing car."
It doesn't even make sense.
I know. It was very funny. Anyone who's seen that movie will is laughing right now, I promise you. You've never seen that movie, have you?
No. And that's not going to make my classic list either.
It should.
My classic film project.
What about Smoking the Bandit?
I have never seen that, and that should.
You've never seen Smoking the Bandit?
Never seen it.
You know what?
I'll put that on my classic film project list.
Smoking the Bandit is a better movie. Jackie Gleason is great in Smoking the Bandit. But Cannonball Run is actually funnier. Comedy-wise, Cannonball Run was way ahead of its time because it's the type of comedy that a lot of people do now, and nobody was doing that type of comedy back then. I mean, there's a lot of really stupid stuff in it, but there's a lot of really funny stuff in it, too. Right. Just like great little characters.
But isn't that kind of just a ripoff of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
No. It's definitely not a ripoff. No, it is not a ripoff. It is not a ripoff. Mad, 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 Mad World was like slapsticky. I mean, it was just...
Cannonball Run's not?
No, it's like funny. It's funny. I mean, there's a lot of dumb humor in it and a lot of juvenile humor.
By the way, I caught about 20 minutes of it. It was on TV. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. It's still funny.
Yeah. If you think that's funny, you would definitely think Cannonball Run is funny.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying.
Can't make me like anything I don't want to
like. I know. We've all heard this a million times. People are hearing it in France as we speak. So that's all we got for video games. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV, or in Coco's country, la télévision, or la télé. I know. I remember very little of my French.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Bonjour,
we'll
Monsieur Thibault.
How you
Bonjour,
pull off
Madame Thibault.
Mouche mouche later.
La mouche mouche. Et très facile, oui.
Are you ready?
But, yeah, I've been ready.
Oh.
Yeah. This is not a French lesson. It's just a little, you know, a little something something.
All right. Well, let's start with Falling Skies. Although I am an episode behind.
You are an episode behind on many things, not just this show. You know, I like it. I think it's...
I like it, but last week's episode, the dialogue was so terrible.
I don't even notice it.
Oh, my God. How can you not notice it? It's terrible.
I just don't notice it. But I will say that... Okay,
it's a shame because the story, the plot is really good.
Okay, now what happened on last week's episode? The other military guy came. Well, a couple things happened. One... is the doctor was attacked, right?
Right.
That was at the beginning of the episode. Okay. So the doctor, played by Moon Bloodgood, was attacked, and the people that attacked her were people who lived there in their community, and they wanted to steal all the medicine and everything and ditch and go out on their own because they didn't think these people were going to make it. So they steal all the medicine. They almost kill her, and then they are stopped by another military guy who's like coming into town from a different group somewhere else. Okay, so then what happened after that?
Well, it ends, I mean, without going through the whole episode, it ends with the one military guy that they trust taking the kids to
somewhere
where
else
they think is going to be a safe haven.
Right.
But really what he's doing is giving the kids to...
Yeah, he's made a deal with the Skitters.
Which, I want to see those negotiations.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Well, like, no, don't you... They showed his dealings with them.
Did they?
Yeah.
In that episode?
Yes, because he took somebody out into the woods to give to the Skitters. And remember there was a girl, a harnessed girl with them?
Uh-huh.
And so the harnessed girl was doing the talking for them.
Oh, okay.
That's how they did that.
Yeah. I was probably...
Don't you remember this goes back to our conversation about when Rick, is that the kid's name? Black kid? The son? The first one they took the harness off.
Yeah.
I think his name is Rick. Anyway, remember when he was standing in front of the Skitter... And he was saying, kill me. And they thought he was talking about himself, but we think he was talking for the Skitter.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
So there you go.
You're right. How many times do I have to say you're right?
You missed. I actually felt like that episode was a lot of wasted time. Like basically that episode, you know, it was part one of a two-parter. It was almost all set up for part two.
Was part two good?
Part two was good. Although, again, I feel like there was not enough going on in it. Part two was, yeah, I mean, it was almost like a punchline episode.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I like the story a lot. I just wish it would move a little faster.
Right. In addition to my having issues with the dialogue, I'm also having issues with the music.
The music is terrible on that show.
Bad.
It's so bad. It's some of the worst music I've ever seen on an otherwise okay
or heard
to watch
on a TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I meant.
Yeah. Well, unless they're actually sending you sheet music of the score each week.
Which you don't know is not true. That could be happening.
So you finally watched at least a couple of...
Yeah, we've watched two or three episodes of MasterChef, and I do really like it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
Love it.
I don't love it. I don't like it more than Top Chef.
I like it more than Top Chef.
I don't. First of all, there's no Padma. If there's no Padma, I cannot love it more than Top Chef. Okay. And Gail. I like Gail, too. And I like Tom, you know. I like the format of Top Chef. I like MasterChef because it's different, you know, but I don't like it more than Top Chef.
I love MasterChef. I love it more and more each week.
I don't like that Christian dude.
No.
And just and so Christine you know, too. Before I get any hate mail, that's his name. I'm not saying anything about not saying anything about his religion. The man's name is Christian, and I do not like him.
But what I was saying to you that I really like about that show, it's not just about creating fabulous dishes.
Right.
It's about having the abilities to cook.
Right, but they do that on Top Chef sometimes too. I don't know if you remember that episode where they had to go...
Never as an elimination though.
You're right.
That's always based on creating a dish.
Correct, correct.
But I love when they had that that pressure round where they each had to make like Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know who Joe was
and until... you have to think that those people, I mean, for some of the things that are thrown at them, you have to be pretty...
You have to be a pretty good cook. I mean, you have to be pretty much
you
like...
You can't just come in like, oh, I can cook good. I can make good pasta at home. I'm going to try out for this show.
Yeah, I think you pretty much have to have almost the same, you know, knowledge as somebody who wants to get a job as a chef.
Yeah.
I mean, and I have to wonder if all these people did go to culinary school.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, I would... You know, I'm not... Now, I don't even claim to be a good cook, but I don't even know what's in Eggs Benedict. I could never make that.
You can't even say Eggs Benedict.
I know. Much less make it. Thanks.
Did you see the most recent episode?
Jerk face. I don't think so.
One.
But what I was going to say is I didn't know who Joe was until their moms were on the show.
Joe.
Bastianek? Isn't that his name?
Oh, is that his first name?
Yeah. The real mean guy?
Yeah. I just call him the really mean guy.
Yeah. Well, what's so funny about that show, though, is it's really a show of extremes. Because it's like when the judges decide that they like somebody's dish, they praise it to the ends of the earth. And when they decide they don't like it, they make them feel so terrible and so
this
small.
Week,
there
were two dishes where Gordon tried it first, then Joe. Are you sure his first name is Joe?
I thought it was.
Probably. Then he would try the dish, and it was twice the dish was so bad, he went over and threw it in the trash. How come Graham didn't get to try it?
Graham doesn't need any more food, I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. I like Graham. He seems like
he's the nicest of the three.
Yeah,
that's
like
for sure.
Fun guy. Although, you know, Gordon Ramsay is plenty nice on that.
Was
show.
That a food pun?
Why? What did I say?
He seems like a fun guy.
Yes, it was. can you look up his name?
I can't because I have this open to something right now, so I'll come back to it.
Wow. You know, if the iPad did proper multitasking, you wouldn't have to worry about that. I'm just saying.
Oh, you know what? It does. Oh, you know what? You're right. I can't do that. I guess I just didn't know the power of the iPad.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. But yeah, I do like the show. And I feel, though, that some of the contestants, I swear I've seen them before. Like that girl who on the previous episode, like 2 weeks ago, she didn't have to compete in the Elimination Challenge, but she did anyway. I feel like I've seen her on another show. The Italian guy who was cut last week. I don't remember his name. You know, remember who I'm talking about?
Giuseppe.
I feel like
Granite
salesman from Chicago. I feel like I've seen him before, and it's not because I was buying granite from him, because my granite salesman
it
was
is Joe.
A totally different guy.
Joe Bastianich.
Bastian.
Is that it?
Well, it should be Bastianich, shouldn't it? if they're Italian.
Well, that wouldn't. That's not an Italian name.
Well, it was obviously shortened.
Oh, yeah, then it would be Bastianic.
Bastianic, yeah. Maybe they're not Italian.
But we're not in Italy.
I don't care. I'm always up for pronouncing things
the
way...
But it's not an Italian name.
No, it's not. I'm always up for pronouncing things the way they're supposed to be pronounced, even if you're not in that country or speaking that language.
I think yes and no. I don't think that I should call the college in South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame. It's Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, I think it depends.
But, yeah, right. Although, in that case, they named it...
I don't
it
call a croissant croissant.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. I guess you're right. Although, do you remember when Burger King first came out with their...
Croissant-wich?
With the croissant-wich? Do you remember when they first came out...
Croissant-wich?
No, they first came out with the croissant-wich, and they had like, one of those, you know, people on the street reacting to their food commercials. I mean, this is, like, what, 20 years ago, something like that. And so they have this old guy. He's like, oh, that's real good when you put the sausage and the cheese on the croissant roll like that. I always thought that was so funny. He actually said croissant roll. Oh, my gosh. Burger King trying to play down to the masses. What does that tell you about how they feel about us? But, yeah, I definitely like MasterChef. Although, you know, again, I just can't let go of Padma.
I'm not asking you to let go of Padma, but I'm glad that you
I think Padma
watched,
might be asking
I'm glad
me to
you
let
watched
go
it
of
and enjoyed it because I'm really,
no, it
really
is. It's a
really
good
it.
Show.
And I want to mention just coincidentally, I have it in – you know, other shows I've seen. I watched, because I'm enjoying it, last week they debuted Hell's Kitchen. So I watched an episode of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Hate it.
I don't like that
it's
show at
terrible.
All.
It's terrible.
The format is no good.
It's terrible.
He's obviously being asked to just make things
be a complete
annoying.
Jerk. And yeah. Also, that's not even about, like, creating. It's just about, like, yeah. Being a line cook.
Right. It's uninteresting to me.
Yeah.
So what else have you seen?
I want to mention, a couple weeks ago, I saw Jennifer Aniston on Inside the Actors Studio, which
yes.
There's the comedy right there.
And how was Jennifer Aniston?
I wish I would have never seen it because I always liked Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Just,
you know, I always thought of her like the girl next door, blah, blah, blah. But every time she answered a question, by the way, she is our modern version of Liza Minnelli, because every time she answered a question, it's like she was putting on a performance with her answer. Ever notice when Liza Minnelli's
oh,
being
yeah.
interviewed?
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston, I've always noticed about her. She always does a little, I mean, she actually does physical posturing
yes.
before she answers
yes.
a question.
That's my point.
She'll like make this face, she'll be like, well, and she'll like
yeah.
spin around in her chair.
Absolutely, that's
move
what
her
I'm talking
shoulders.
About.
Yeah, it's
that's
hilarious.
What I'm talking about. And it was so unnerving. It was so disturbing to watch because what I like about her is she just seems so down to earth and like everybody. And she so was not on this. And really, do we really want to take acting advice from Jennifer Aniston?
No.
I mean, she's the same character in everything she's in.
I've heard stories about her.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to divulge any of them?
I don't know if I do. No, I mean, I've heard, let's just put it this way. I've heard that she is not the sweetheart that America thought she was.
So she's not America's sweetheart, is what you're saying.
Right, because she was for a long time. I mean, right. Especially when Friends was in its heyday, she was kind of considered America's sweetheart. And I just heard that she's, you know, she has some...
There was one question he asked her. He's like, do you miss, you know... what? I forgot his exact question, but it was to the effect of, you know, do you miss playing Rachel? I'm like, do you miss Rachel? And like, really? And she even said in an earlier answer that those characters were... you know, tailored to their personalities.
Right.
So really, how could she miss Rachel when really that's
Rachel
what she
was
plays.
Like her.
Exactly. And that's pretty much the character she plays in everything she's in.
Right. Right. Except the good girl? Was that what
right.
it was?
Except and Horrible Bosses. I mean, yeah. She's completely different in that
yeah.
as well.
But yeah,
I mean, she doesn't have a wide range. So
no,
her being
doesn't.
On the show alone is, right. you know, ironic.
Yeah, how can you really discuss her oeuvre? You
can't
unless
you're referring to her basket of eggs.
Which in itself could have several meanings.
Okay. I also, at the urgence of a guy.
Let me
I
just
work
say
with,
that my what I one of the things I heard about her was, and this is one of the reasons.
I heard she's a party girl.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean partying the way that most people party.
Right. With the hat and the noisemakers and the.
Yeah. No.
Little, and the pinata.
No. Not that kind of partying.
Yeah. No, I've heard that also.
Yeah.
But I think a lot more of that goes on than, you know.
Let's just say she likes to party in winter, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. By the way, have you seen that commercial where I don't even remember what the commercial's for, but it's a guy talking about how much better their whatever is than somebody else's and how they have a pinata and not just any
pinata. And Mary Lou Retton is in it, yeah.
But a pinata filled with Mary Lou Retton.
Yeah. I actually watched that closely because you wonder, how does she really fall out of it? Because it looks like she actually falls out of it.
Right, it does look like that. But obviously they're not whacking her with a baseball bat first. No. So.
But they should.
It's a funny commercial. I will not condone that behavior.
At the urgence of a guy I work with, and you know, many people have told me how much they love the show. And really, I am admitting I'm late to this party.
Yeah.
Many years late to this party. I've started watching because it's on both. All of it is on both Hulu and Netflix. I started watching Arrested Development.
We'll be talking more about Hulu later, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh. And, yes, actually, I have stuff on Hulu as well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, that's Netflix. But I've started watching Arrested Development, and I have to tell you, immediately sucked in, I've already watched, of the 53 episodes, I've already watched 20.
Wow.
Very funny, and I will say one of the funniest shows of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we have the DVDs, have not yet started watching.
Oh, do you have them?
Yeah.
You should watch them.
Yeah, we're going to start watching them soon.
Probably not with the kid.
No. We don't watch anything with him except, like, Top Chef and American Idol and, right. You know, stuff like that. Right. Storage Wars.
Oh, I have some Storage Wars news later.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I have to say, Arrested Development, great. Everyone on it is great.
Yeah. Jason Bateman's really funny.
Everyone. It's across the board. It's great. Yeah. And I've never really liked Will Arnett.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play a likable character.
He is so unlikable.
Like, he really
is. He's so unlikable.
He really is.
Like, every time I see him, I'm just like, I don't like you.
I know.
I don't care what he's
playing. And his character is so unlikable in this. But, I mean, after a while, he starts to grow on you a little. Yeah, that's what's going to be hard with this new show he's in with him and Christina Applegate where they're playing the new parents.
Right. It's like, I don't want to watch him.
Well, it's going to be hard to see him in like where you're supposed to like sympathize with him and he's supposed to be like
exactly.
The doting new father.
Speaking of new shows, do you find it surprising that Zooey Deschanel is going to be on a TV show?
No.
I find that surprising.
Well, I just listened to, she was on the Nerdist podcast probably about a month ago. And she said that she didn't want to do TV, but like they gave her the script and like.
She actually liked it.
Yeah, she liked it a lot. She thought it was funny. What I don't like about that show, and I don't know the reason why, one of the characters they've switched out, but they
still... You mean the actors?
Yeah.
Okay.
The African-American character was played by Damon Wayans Jr. Jr.
Okay.
Because that would be the third.
Yeah.
And now they've switched him out with another actor. But the commercials, and I'm sure the pilot still has him in it, so
okay.
It's confusing to me because some of the promos have the new guy. So,
oh, I see.
Which is ironic because it's called The New Girl.
What's up with Dad?
But anyway, Arrested Development. Okay.
Highly recommend it.
Oh my God, I highly recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny. And it's the kind of funny where like you could watch it, you know, over and over. And
right.
Great. I mean, almost every episode there's like a cameo or there's like a guest spot.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler, Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Right. A
lot of funny people.
Gotcha. Well, I look forward to that at some point. We've still been watching Alphas, which we are enjoying. I am hoping that they start to get into some kind of like, mythos type overarching storylines. Because right now it's like Freak of the Week.
Is that Chick on it yet? Chick from Terminator?
She's
going to be on it.
I don't think so.
In fact, I should have put that in the miscellaneous.
Which who are you talking about?
The Summer Glau.
Oh, no. She has not made an appearance.
She will.
But, you know, David Strathairn's a great actor, and it's really cool seeing him on a TV show because he's so good, you know?
Yeah, he was great in River Wild.
I personally liked him in Sneakers, but that's just me. But I really like him. He's a really good actor.
River Wild is probably the worst. No, there's one worse. The worst Meryl Streep movie ever. Where she's
was that
like
Sean
whitewater
Penn?
Rafting at the gunpoint of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. At what?
Like Kevin Bacon has like a gun to her head.
Hey, she also did Death Becomes Her, so
that's not bad.
That's a terrible movie.
Oh, that is not.
It is
that's
terrible.
A fun campy movie.
Oh my God, that movie's awful.
She Devil is worse.
That movie's not even. Death Becomes Her is not even funny. I don't think I laughed a single time in that movie.
Oh well, you don't really get a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cannonball
that's exactly
Run.
Right. Come on, I'm telling you, that movie's hilarious.
Yeah. All right.
The movie's hilarious. We've watched a lot more of Smallville. Oh my gosh. Season 2.
Oh my gosh.
Season 2 up to the ante, let me tell you. So at the end of season 2, what happens is I'm trying to go through the timeline of everything that happened here.
You've embraced the fact that this is a show for teenage girls, right?
Is that true? Or are you just are you just saying that because my employee who likes it is a girl and she's not that old?
No, I believe
she's not a teenager though.
No, but I believe it's
well, whatever. It's fun. It's fun, and I like seeing like how they work in some of the.
So is Gossip Girl.
No, I don't even know what that is. So, okay, so okay, so here's what happens. So Clark all of a sudden
didn't ask Trixie to the prom. So
no, there's nobody named Trixie. That is ridiculous. This is not Speed Racer. Okay, so Clark starts getting these mysterious email messages from somebody who he doesn't know. So they track down who it is, and they realize it's this acclaimed scientist. He's like a Stephen Hawking type, right?
Uh-huh.
So the guy sends him a message because what's happened now is Clark has gone into these caves that have 500-year-old paintings on them uh-huh. that tell a story of somebody coming to Earth from the skies in a meteor shower who can shoot fire from his eyes. So he knows that somebody from his planet has been there before. And he takes the key from the spaceship, which is this little octagon, and he puts it in a little recess in the wall in the caves, and the Krypton language is downloaded into his brain. And so now he can read everything that the cave paintings say. And one day, all of a sudden, he, like, freaks out, and his eyes burn a symbol on the side of the barn, you know, on their farm. And it's a symbol for hope, and so he tells his parents he can read the language and everything. So then he starts getting these emails. So he agrees to go meet with the guy. He goes to meet with him, and it's Christopher Reeve. From, you know, who played Superman in the original movies in the 70s, which was so cool. And so he talks about how he has always been obsessed with, you know, finding life on other planets and how he, you know, one day for 11 minutes was receiving this signal and this is what it said. And he showed it on this monitor and it talked about how, you know, please keep our child safe, you know, da 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 da. And his name is Kal-El, and Clark says to him, he's like, why would you think that's me? And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not trying to expose you. I just want to know that I'm right. That's all I care about. I just want to know that I'm right. And Clark's like, sorry, I can't help you. And he's like, that's fine. You can take that attitude. And if you can live with that, I can too. But if you walk out that door, it's never going to be open to you again. And you'll never know the second half of the message. And right when he says that, they play the so it's like leading up to, you know, what he's going to become. And so he admits.
That's a pretty old. Didn't Christopher Reeve die like a long time ago?
Well, the show's been on for 10 years and this was season two. So it was from 8 years ago, you know, or 9 years ago. So he admits that it's him and he tells him the second half of the message is that the day is coming when something big is going to happen. So they go back. He goes back to
the prom. It's the prom.
It's not the prom. So he goes back to his home and he's talking to his dad and he's, you know, he really wants to know where he's from and, you know, all this stuff.
You're not going to go through every episode.
No, I'm not. Okay. So he takes the key and he puts it in the spaceship and the spaceship turns on and all of a sudden this like hologram of the Krypton language appears like in the spaceship where he was sitting when he was a kid. And his dad's like, can you read that? He said, yeah, although I don't think I'm reading it right. And his dad's like, why? What does it say? He says that basically he says, you know, basically it says that he was sent there to conquer them and rule them and, you know, because they're weak and he's powerful. And he's like, you know, is this what I was sent here for? I mean, what kind of a place am I from?
He's killed his father.
And he doesn't kill his father.
Oh,
but
he should kill his
father. So he freaks out and he decides he's going to destroy the spaceship. And in doing so, causes this explosion that puts his mom into the hospital. And she's pregnant, and they thought they couldn't get pregnant. And she loses the baby. And so he, you know, obviously blames himself. So he finds a red kryptonite ring that his friend Chloe had kept. And he puts it on, and he leaves. And he goes to Metropolis. And he starts this, like, huge crime spree in Metropolis. Like, busting open ATMs and stealing money and, like, buying Lamborghinis and giving them to random chicks and stuff like that. And
random chicks.
Yeah. But it was really cool. It was like really cool. And then the beginning of season three, his dad had to figure out a way to get him to come back home and stop being a criminal mastermind. And Rutger
in
Hauer,
time for the prom.
Rutger Hauer was on it. It was really cool. No, there's been no prom so far, I don't think.
It's coming.
You think the prom
there's
is
always
coming?
A prom. There's always a prom on the CW.
In Smallville. There's always a prom in Smallville. But I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. And then we've been watching the new season of Storage Wars. Have you been watching it?
No.
You don't like that show?
Yeah, actually, I watched an episode once. I liked it.
It's really funny. It's really funny. This season has been even funnier. Yeah, we really like it a lot. I think that Barry, you know, the older guy with the white hair and the glasses, mm-hmm. I get the feeling that he was not he didn't have any interest in this before the show. So they had these three other people who they were kind of following, and then there was they brought in this other guy just to add a little color to the show. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he was never a guy who, like, bought and sold storage units for whatever. He's just, like, an old dude with a lot of money and a lot of friends. And he's really funny, though.
That's all it takes in life, really.
That's true. Yeah. That's what Facebook is all about.
Right.
I'm just saying. But I think that show is hilarious, and we really enjoy it. And it's a show that we can watch when our son's awake, so we got that going for us, too. That's all I got. I haven't been all watching anything else.
Let's talk a little about this new reality show that's coming up on Tuesday, Take the Money and Run.
So you first told me about this the other day. Tell people.
From the creators of The Amazing Race.
Right.
The premise is it's kind of like a crime scenario where they give you this briefcase worth $100,000.
Right.
And you have an hour to hide it. And I don't know if you actually live in the city where they do it. I noticed from a lot of the promo that a lot of it's in, like, some of it's in San Francisco, a couple episodes.
It's got to be done in the city
Chicago.
Where you live, because you wouldn't know anywhere to go to hide
it. Oh, that's right. The one guy says in one of the promos that
his friend owns a restaurant. And, right. Yeah, right.
So they give you this briefcase. It's worth $100,000. You have an hour to hide it. And the top detectives of that city are given 48 hours to
find it.
Yeah. But you kind of play the criminal because they interrogate you.
And at least from the promos, it actually looks like you got to spend some time in jail.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a pretend jail.
Right.
But, I mean, they show the guy, like, in an orange jumpsuit being interrogated by the detective.
In some, like, solitary confinement cell.
And the guy's like, you know, I really didn't expect him to get all up in my face like that. It was kind of intimidating.
But it's a great premise, I think.
So go on. What happens, you know, they look for it.
And if they don't find it in the 48 hours, you get the $100,000.
Which is so cool. Yeah. I totally want to go on that show. I have a plan. I already told you my plan, didn't I?
Don't ruin the
plan. It's a good plan, right?
It is a good plan. Don't ruin the plan.
I'm not going to ruin the plan, but I have a plan.
And it's a good plan.
It is a good plan.
So look for that. That's on Tuesday. Emmy nominations came out since our last episode. Let me just go over a little of it. I'll just go over the stuff that's kind of excited or surprising, we'll say.
Okay.
Like Martha Plimpton being nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy Series.
On what?
Raising Hope. And the girl who plays Molly on Mike and Molly being nominated. That was a surprise.
I've never heard of either of these shows.
It's a good thing you are doing an entertainment podcast.
Right. You say that every
week. Matt LeBlanc nominated for episodes for Best Lead Actor.
Yeah, I want to see that next season. Is it coming back?
Sure. I'm sure.
Because it was pretty funny.
Again, I'm just saying what the surprises are.
Sure.
I mean, the rest
big
are
surprises.
Like Jim Parsons and, you know, all the things you know. I believe every major cast member from Modern Family is nominated for acting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Like all the, no, like.
Not the kids.
So all the adults, all six of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
All of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the only people from Glee this time nominated are Jane Lynch and
Leah Michelle?
Kurt.
Oh.
No, I don't think... No, Leah Michelle's not nominated.
Why was Kurt nominated? Did he have a particularly good episode or something?
He had a lot of, like, emotional episodes.
Yeah.
Because there was the whole bullying storyline.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole last season, so I don't know what that's about.
There was a lot of bullying. Yeah,
no,
so...
Wait. Is he the wheelchair guy?
No, he's the gay kid.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was trying to think of his name, so I didn't just refer to him as the gay kid.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
So, yeah, for the Outstanding Supporting Actor category, of the six, four of them are from Modern Family.
Wow.
So they're all, I hope they don't, like, cancel each other out, because I really think that Phil should win.
Yeah.
Ty Burrell is Phil.
Yeah. And what's really funny about him on that show is that, if you remember when the show first started, as much as I love the show, I didn't really like his character that much because I felt they made him too much like Michael Scott. But I really think he's fallen into his own groove and made his own character.
Right.
You know?
The thing I'm most excited about, the biggest surprise for me, Parks and Recreation nominated for Best Comedy.
Wow. What else? Modern Family?
Modern Family, Glee, The Office, 30 Rock, and Big Bang Theory.
Huh.
So I think I think Modern Family would probably win it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that Parks was nominated.
When are the Emmys?
September, I believe. September 18th.
So right before the new fall season starts.
Yes.
Is that always the way it works?
And Amy Poehler was also nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy.
Yeah.
Which, I'm really surprised that Rob Lowe was not nominated, because I think he's great on there.
Yeah.
Let's just go to drama quickly. We have for lead actress, not really any surprises. Kathy Bates for that new show she's in, Harry's Law. I think if
never Kathy, seen it.
I think if Kathy Bates is in something, you have to nominate her.
Really? Is that the rule now?
I'm guessing. Not really anything surprising. Let's just go to series. I'm surprised Walking Dead wasn't nominated for more. They're nominated for like some technical awards, but
best show shown in a tiny little bubble on DirecTV with mono audio.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna win that. Actually.
I think they're gonna win that one too. Yeah.
For outstanding drama, you have Boardwalk Empire, The Good Wife, which who's watching that? Come on,
nobody.
Mad Men, Friday Night Lights. That's on DirecTV.
You know, I want to start watching Mad Men.
I'll tell you how in just a moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dexter and Game of Thrones.
I heard Game of Thrones was really
so
good.
So all shows that I've seen the first season of Mad Men, but I don't watch any of these shows. So
yeah. Did you not like Mad Men enough
surprised
to keep
True
watching?
True Blood
it?
Wasn't nominated, huh?
Did you not like Mad Men enough to keep watching it?
No, I really liked it. In fact, I own season 2 and 3. You know, I could just loan you the seasons.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give you another way you can watch it.
Tell me another way.
So I will tell you momentarily.
Okay.
So anyway, those are the big things. But the show or movie that got the most nominations, this also makes me very happy, Mildred Pierce.
Mildred Pierce,
which
I loved the miniseries, your favorite thing ever.
Yes. If it was a movie, it would be my favorite movie of the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yes. And everyone from that, all the major actors were nominated.
Even more than Horrible Bosses?
Yes, though I love Horrible Bosses. But yes.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to more miscellaneous. It was announced at Comic-Con last week that Mark Hamill will be the first villain on Chuck for its final season.
Oh, boy.
I also want to mention, I was listening on the way here, as a matter of fact. You know, I love to listen to the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah.
And I was listening.
Chris Hardwick.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Who can sometimes be annoying to me.
Yeah. I don't listen to the podcast because I don't have any time to listen to that podcast.
But you should listen to the podcast with Zachary Levi on it because he's actually very entertaining.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who do I know? Oh, we went to a charity event on Friday night, Saturday night. And we ended up going with a friend of Amy's who she's been friends with since, you know, she was in grade school. And she was at some event.
A male friend or female friend?
This is a female friend.
Uh-huh.
She was at an event that Zachary Levi was at, and she was talking about how he was very nice too, which I'm happy to hear. Because you don't want to hear that people who play nice people on shows that you like, you don't want to hear that they're jerks in real life. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do agree.
So. Also was revealed that my wife has a little girl crush on Kristen Kreuk from Smallville.
I don't know who that is.
She's Kristen Kreuk from Smallville.
Well, that adds more to the stuff going on in your head, doesn't it?
No, I don't know what that means.
We'll leave it at that. Okay, we're going to talk about something here.
Okay.
We got some scoop. It's a big scoop.
Yes.
I'm going to read the report as it is on the news.
Okay.
And then you will elaborate from there.
Yes.
I'll throw this in. After many reports of being a monster to work with, Frank Darabont, the man who brought The Walking Dead to the small screen, has quit as, well, not only the head writer. At the time I wrote this, it was head writer, but now he's completely he's hands off the whole series.
Okay, so the story that's going around the internet is that he quit, right? I, as you know, I have some friends in the film and television industry out in L.A., and I just want to make it very clear this did not come from Todd because he doesn't know anybody on this
right.
show. This came from somebody else who was on the production side of things, and what I was told is that the truth is that he did not quit, but he was fired for making a very serious threat against a very high-level member of the production of that series.
Yes.
And
so he was forced out.
He was forced out because he actually threatened.
Is a monster to work
with. Right, and is a monster to work with. So there you go. There's some scoop right here on the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast.
So do with that what you will.
Yes.
Here's how you can catch your Mad Men.
Okay.
Mad Men is currently available for streaming on Netflix.
There you go. In the high definition?
Do you do? That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been so up and down with Netflix recently. I don't like Netflix on PS3 anymore because remember before I liked
right.
because the
you could do things with it that you can't do now.
Well, there were like a ton more choices on PS3 than there was on Xbox. But I'm finding that most of the things I watch on the Netflix on PS3 are all in standard def. But when I watch them on Xbox 360, they'll have it in high def on 360 where they won't on PS3.
Okay.
Why is there such a disparity?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
Especially because both of those devices have the capability to do both.
Right. I don't understand. And what really upsets me
Or maybe they don't. Does the PlayStation only have... Well, that wouldn't matter, though. I was going to say, if it only had like 100 megabit or 10 megabit networking and the Xbox had, you know, gigabit Ethernet, but that wouldn't make any sense because I'm sure that the PlayStation at the very least has 100 megabit networking, and there's no internet that's that fast for most people anyway, so.
Right. It's really put a damper on my classic film project because before I had so many choices, and now my choices are more limited. I mean, there's still many choices, but.
Right. But I haven't even turned on my Xbox in months.
You should. It's good.
I know, but I just don't have time for that stuff.
Last week's curve. Oh, I have some ratings news here. Two items, ratings news. Ready?
Okay.
Ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Last week's Curb Your Enthusiasm was the highest rated episode in the series' 7-year history.
Wow.
No idea why.
So what, 11
Because it wasn't really... Hey, that's a great show. It wasn't really
can't stand
a high
him.
Touted episode. Yeah. Like, you know, like when Seinfeld was on, right. You know, the Seinfeld reunion.
Or as my sister calls him, because she can't remember his name, Jerry Seinfeld. And you know my sister.
She can't remember him?
She can't remember his name.
He's like one of the biggest names in entertainment.
She always gets it wrong. She inherited that from my mom. My mom could mispronounce.
Well, Joe Geronimo.
Exactly.
No, there's a reason they made that skit.
My mom could mispronounce the simplest word in the world and get so flustered about it and tongue-tied. And my sister inherited that from her. So Jerry Seinfeld, even his episode wasn't as popular as, right. as this latest one.
Last week's second season premiere of Storage Wars was A&E's highest rated series telecast of all time.
Wow. It's a great show. It's really
a
lot of fun.
I don't know if it's that great.
I think it's pretty great. It's a lot of fun. And
I don't know if it's that
great. And there
great.
Was a there was a fun episode. Do you know who Linda is? Linda is
Evangelista?
Dan. No. Linda is
Hamilton?
Dan, the auctioneer's wife.
Okay.
And so Dan was sick, and so Linda did the auctions, and it just so happened that this particular place, you know, storage facility where they were doing the auctions, like all the places that were up for auction had like nothing in them. One had one couch. One had like a couple bags of garbage. It was just like all this junk. She's like, oh my God, Dan's going to kill me. She's like, I'm getting like $50 for these lockers. She goes, nobody wants to buy anything. And then finally, like there was one good one, and you know, she, there was one that had like a giant, what looked like a giant oil tank, like the size of a car in it that was filled with tar. And she ended up selling the locker.
What's someone going to do with that?
I guess they were going to sell it to like a roofing contractor or something because that's what it was used for.
Wow.
But yeah, it was pretty funny.
ABC is in a rush to recast the voice of Charlie for its new Charlie's Angels series after Robert Wagner has dropped out.
What?
Yep.
Bob, what's up with Dad?
Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner, why'd you leave? Why would he leave?
I don't know. I don't have that information.
All right, hold on. Kelsey, would you get Bob Wagner on the phone and see what's going on?
Kelsey's not even here today.
You know what? This is audio only. Nobody would have known that
they
if you
need
hadn't
to know.
Said anything.
I can't lie to our listeners.
Nobody would have known.
Can't lie to our listeners. Finally, John Goodman is joining the cast of Community as the new Vice Dean. I don't think it's permanently. I think it's just for a few episodes.
Oh, okay. You know, we don't watch that show regularly anymore, but every time we watch it, it's hilarious. I really like that show a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, is that all you got for TV?
That's all I got.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, grab some lunch, do some drinking, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. We're back and it's time to talk about movies.
First of all, we have not gone to lunch yet.
Le cinéma? La cinéma? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry,
French.
Coco. I'm so sorry. Please correct me. You never took French?
No.
What was that?
No.
What was that sigh of indignation? What the hell was that all about? No, I would never do that. Come on. It's one of the Romance languages. It's right there with Spanish and Italian.
Yeah.
They're very similar, all three of them.
Today's my last Italian class of
is
this
it?
Section.
How you doing? Taking
the test? Very well.
Do you get graded?
No.
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 It's really all for yourself.
You get graded on whether you... I mean, you don't get graded from them, but like if you can speak better Italian after the class. Sure. I guess you've passed.
Oh, I could always speak better Italian after my class. It was just the next day that I couldn't speak better Italian.
Well, I'll talk more about that to you off the air, but it's going well.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So, la cinema.
La cinema. Sì, signore.
So you have not gone to see...
Mamma mia, che successo. Oh, Dio, ho dovuto disluto.
What the hell was that? You had to see the visual that accompanied that to really fully appreciate that. All right. A lot of hand gestures. Of course, as there would be. So I know we had talked about going to see it together, and I completely spaced it, so I am guilty of that. But did you go see Captain America?
No. I haven't had time.
Don't get mad at me.
Well, I am mad because we were supposed to go see it together.
I know we were supposed to see it together. I completely spaced it. And what's funny is Lou texted me, hey, are we going to go see that movie this week? And
while
I was sitting in the movie. So I did go see Captain America, The First Avenger, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
I really want to see it.
I just wish I would have loved it. And I think the reason I didn't love it, I mean, everything is done great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an origin story, and there's a villain.
I love origin stories.
I know you do. And this one's not fantastical.
Right, because he doesn't really... I don't know what I'm talking about. I was going to say,
he doesn't really have
special powers, right?
Yeah, no, he does.
I mean, he was created...
But he's...
And willingly took part in that. So it's not like...
But through an experiment, he's like super strong, super fast.
Right, but that's what was supposed to happen. So it's not like...
Right, but he's beyond human strong and fast.
Right, I understand. But that's what was supposed to happen, right?
Right.
So it
wasn't by accident.
All I'm saying is it's a little bit different than something
Spider-Man.
Like Superman or Spider-Man or even the X-Men, where these are either things like, you know, Superman's an alien, Spider-Man and the X-Men have things happen to them that they didn't sign up for.
Right.
Whereas this is, he signed up for it and he got exactly what was planned. So
that'll go with what I'm saying.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I could see why as an origin story, maybe wouldn't be as exciting.
Right.
Interesting.
And then there's a villain and, you know, he obviously defeats the villain. I mean, I'm not ruining the movie by saying that. Come on. I'm not ruining the movie by saying that. I mean, that's what happens in every one of these movies. we've seen it enough times, and it's
not
done,
true. What about Empire Strikes Back?
It's done so well. That's not a superhero movie. Oh. It's done so well, but I just would have liked something a little out of the ordinary. But I have to say, as far as these go, this is one of the best.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the time, you know, it's done, all of it pretty much, is done in that World War II era.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, like, Nazi mythology.
As we all know, Nazis are bad.
But it goes along with the whole Raiders of the Lost Ark, with the whole, like, interest in the
occult and all that.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. No, you'll like a lot of it. This movie was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I just wish they would have put something in there to just
really
put
it over the top
for me. Yeah. I will say the end is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything about the end. The end is awesome.
I can't wait to see
it. I did not stay for the little special bit after the trailer. In fact, I still haven't looked for it online.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you did, don't tell anyone because, it's a fun little thing.
Right. But. And keeping up with my classic film project, you know, we had talked about the Marilyn Monroe when... after I had seen Some Like It Hot. And so I thought I would check out another one of her movies, a more serious movie. I didn't want to see, you know, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes or How to Marry a Millionaire or whatever the other one was. So I watched the drama Niagara.
Okay.
It's like a mystery suspense. And I have to say, she was an amazing actress.
Really?
Oh, my God. She's so great in this movie.
Huh. I've never seen
it. The movie itself, I mean, I think it was 1952. You know, it's a mystery suspense, but it's not all that mysterious or suspenseful. I mean, because it's that time.
Right.
Like, at the end, you're just like, well, where was the mystery?
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean, I guess there was a little suspense, but really, there's no mystery.
I understand what you're saying.
But
it was a different era.
Right, it was. And it was done really well, and the acting's great. But she just steals everything she's in. I mean, she, like you said, I mean, this, I think, even more than Some Like It Hot, like, she was like no one else.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable in it. And there's parts of her, because her character is very conniving and manipulating. So there's parts where she's trying to play like the dumb blonde, but then there's other parts where she's very like smart and evil and calculating that like it's
cool.
Completely viable, like in every little area she's doing.
That's very
cool. There's one part where she comes out and puts a song on, and she's doing this sexy little, like, strut and, like, starts singing the song, and it's just so, like, mesmerizing.
Yeah.
She was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a one of a kind.
So.
We saw a movie that you talked about previously, Unstoppable, the movie based on a true story of a train going through Pennsylvania, right? Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. That was under full power and had nobody in it. And so it was the whole story. The whole story
thanks
is...
Thanks to Earl's brother on...
Exactly.
My name is Earl.
My name is Earl. Exactly. And yeah, it was interesting because, like you said, there's really no bad guy in the movie. I mean, the bad guy is time. You know, time... Time is his enemy. But it was pretty cool. It was, like, very suspenseful.
Yeah,
and
it was.
And I liked the characters, you know.
But did you agree, though, like, there was the cliche where, like, he's not getting along with his daughter and here he could die. So
exactly.
He tries to, like, yeah.
Exactly. That's
but, I mean, for what this movie is, entertaining.
Yeah. And I like those little bits of those little moments of, oh, crap, like when the person in charge of that rail yard found out that, oh, crap, it's under full power.
Right.
And when the guy finds out that, oh, crap, that little thing that you tried to use to derail the train isn't going to work. Right. It's like you knew what was going to happen, but at the same time, they were really well done.
Yeah.
Those moments were really well done. And who was the other train driver? Oh, Denzel Washington, yeah. It was Denzel Washington.
That's the one you forgot.
And Chris Pine. Yeah.
That's the one you forgot was Denzel Washington?
Yeah, I forgot Denzel Washington. Sorry. But yeah, he was Denzel. He's always Denzel. Yeah.
He's not always Denzel.
He's
though.
So Denzel that I sometimes have trouble buying him as, like, you know, Joe off the street because he's so Denzel.
What's he been in where he plays Joe off the street?
Well, this.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
You know, working man. It's almost hard to buy him as everyday working man.
Yeah. He's a good actor, though.
He is a good actor. I like him a lot.
I put him in the same realm as Tom Cruise. I mean, like, well, I like him in the things he's in, but, like, his range isn't, even though he's a good
actor.
He's
always Denzel.
Yeah. He doesn't become someone else, like, you know, other actors, like Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right. Right. You really made a big jump there from
Tom
Cruise to Daniel Day-Lewis. Right. Well, I mean,
Cruise plays a variety of characters, but he's still
Tom Cruise.
He's still Tom Cruise.
That's what I mean. It's
so
like
Denzel's the same way.
Whereas
Daniel
Day-Lewis, I don't even recognize him from movie to movie.
Who the hell is he?
Yeah, does he even exist?
Is there really? Such a thing as a Daniel Day-Lewis,
or is it just a shell with our own fears projected through his face? I mean, these are all valid questions.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I know. You ready for some miscellaneous?
I guess.
This week at Comic-Con, Captain America director Joe Johnston revealed his undying effort to persuade George Lucas to make a film based on Boba Fett. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
Johnston is more than just a fan. He actually worked for Lucas for years on the Star Wars films and is responsible for some of the designs for the Star Destroyer, the X-Wing Fighters, Yoda, and Boba Fett.
Oh, that Joe Johnston.
That's the director of Captain America.
Oh. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. So, like, he's made it his mission.
To, like, get a Boba Fett movie made.
Right. And not even necessarily, like, him making it. Because they asked him at Comic-Con, like, well, would you make it?
Like,
he's like, oh, I would love to, but I just want it made. He's like, I haven't even thought about that end of it.
The only thing that I would find strange about that is I feel like Lucas completely ruined the whole mythology of Boba Fett with the original, the new trilogy.
Right.
You know, movies 1, 2, and 3. Because... Like, originally, he was this, like, mysterious, you know, guy who had been part of some... I always assumed he had been part of some, you know, like, elite space commando squadron kind of thing. And now we find out that he's just a clone of just a guy? It's like, whoa, that's so uninteresting. I would almost...
Wasn't he the kid of the clone?
Yeah, the kid of the clone. Yeah. Right. Right, so but that's still not that interesting.
Right, no,
so
I agree.
I would almost want them to make.
Oh, by the way, don't pay attention to what we said about him before.
Well, no, not so much that, but almost you could almost take the story in an almost James Bond.
Well, I wouldn't want it to be like an origins. I would hope it would just be like
we've already seen that.
Right, I would want it to be where he is an adult and it's just him.
Right,
maybe going, you know, becoming the Boba Fett we knew in the original movies.
Yeah. But there's got to be some other like hook there.
You mean like a story?
Well, but I mean, it would be really cool if there was some tie-in to the rest of the Star Wars mythology right. that we don't know about.
But without yet. Tinkering with it too much.
Right. Right.
Just little drops.
Like, I think it'd be really cool if, in that story, if Boba Fett, like, all the stuff that he did was to eventually... Because if you think about what happened with his father in movies 1, 2, and 3, like, almost positioning himself, like, in a place with the Empire to be able to maybe even help take them down at some point.
Right.
So he seems like he's, you know, working against the Alliance... But really, it's only to get where he needs to be.
Ah,
you see where I'm going with this, yeah. though? It would need to have something like that, I think. But anyway.
It'll probably never happen. Yeah. After the disappointment of Angels and Demons, it is no surprise that Ron Howard has turned down the chance to direct Dan Brown's third book in the Da Vinci Code trilogy, The Lost Symbol. Yeah.
I never saw Angels and Demons, did you?
No.
I don't remember.
I hated Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I thought...
Although I have to say, I liked the book.
I thought the movie was terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
Like I said, any...
I mean, the best part of the books were completely cut out for the movie, which...
Watch any episode in the first three seasons of Alias, and you will have a better time than watching that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually, if you take each of your toenails out with a pair of wood pliers...
Also, you will have a better time.
Better time.
Than watching that movie.
Da Vinci Code.
Unless you are also removing your toenails while watching that movie, because then that would double up.
And they don't cancel each other out.
Not at all. They just compound each other.
Okay, I'm going to try and say this guy's name. Reese. I know it's
Evans.
Reese.
Evans.
Javier Bardem and Ralph Fiennes will be in the next Bond film.
Well, speaking of Bond films, I just spoke about a Bond film.
I know.
What I was going to say is there are some people who say, well, how can James Bond be this guy and then this guy and then this guy and he's younger and he's older? And there are some people who choose to believe that James Bond is basically the name given to Agent 007, regardless of who that person actually is.
I had never thought of it like that.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah. Although, but I never had an issue with James Bond being a
different... No, I mean, I don't really care. And I prefer to not think of it that way because it's more fun to think of him as somebody who is really just is good at everything. You know what I mean? Except... You know, facing his own
Hey, I want to bring up, just because it's on my mind right now, when I went to see Captain America, they showed the trailer for the next Mission Impossible movie. Yeah. Looks really cool.
Now, is J.J. Abrams doing that one?
Yes.
And is Tom Cruise in it?
He is. Yeah.
And is there a new love interest?
There is a girl in it. I don't know who she is.
Okay.
But Jeremy Renner's in it and kind of working with him, but then there's a little part where he could be working against him.
That's one of the staples of the Mission Impossible franchise.
But I really... it looked good. I mean, just from the trailer, it already looks better than... I didn't even see 3.
3 was actually all right.
I didn't like
2. 2 was awful.
2 was awful.
The first one was great.
You know what I love? I was listening... Chris Hardwick actually said his biggest problem with Mission Impossible 2 is if he was able to wear a mask that completely changed his face, why didn't he wear that mask all the time?
Well, not only that, but the mask that he wore at the end when he broke into the bad guy's compound was of some random dude in some random room. How would he have possibly known to have that person's face handy? I mean, what? You know what I mean? It's like he broke through a vent and ended up in a room with a guy in it, and then he's all of a sudden that guy. It's like, okay.
But why didn't he just wear a mask of someone unknown all the time?
Right. And just like actually get a job at the bad guy's place and just pop a cap in his ass.
Really funny.
It was such a terrible story.
Speaking of Jeremy Renner.
It was John Woo, right?
There was John Woo, right?
Yeah. That's why it was so bad.
Woo-woo. There's a new Bourne film in the works. Bourne Legacy will now star Jeremy Renner as Jason Bourne.
What?
And will also feature Joan Allen, Albert Finney, and Edward Norton will play the villain role.
Who's Jeremy Renner?
He was in... he's going to be...
Well, I understand he's going to be in those
Mission
movies.
Mission Impossible
right.
4.
Right. But...
He was in The Hurt Locker, which I don't think you saw.
Nope.
He was in The Town,
nope.
which I don't think you saw. He played Jeffrey Dahmer in the movie on Jeffrey Dahmer.
Nope.
He's been in other stuff. I bet you haven't seen anything he's been in.
No, I bet I have. His name sounds very familiar. Show me his picture.
Time to go to the old iPad.
Show me la photo of him, if you wouldn't mind. How'd you like that one, Coco, huh? La photo. Pretty good of me, huh?
No, so far you've said...
Wait, let me see. Jeremy Renner, who are you? I have seen him.
Yeah.
What was he in?
The Hurt Locker.
No. Tone. Not the one. Oh, well, 28 Weeks Later, I saw. 28
Weeks Later.
Hold on. I know I've seen him in other stuff.
The Hurt Locker.
House, he was on. If you say that one more time, I'm going to open a Hurt Locker on you. Or put you in it and throw away the key.
Tone.
Come on. Is that really necessary? SWAT, I saw that.
SWAT.
He was in that. Monkey Love, I'm just kidding. I didn't see that. I've never even heard of that. Yeah, I've seen a few things that he's been in.
He's a good actor, actually. I like him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's just so weird, though. It's just so weird that they
They're trying to do the same Bond thing, probably, where different people can play him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but I don't know. That to me doesn't seem like a character that you can do that with.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't have a problem with it. Although I didn't see the last two movies.
Well, it's there. So what are you even talking about? You have to see. You have to see those two movies to understand what I'm talking about.
I didn't love the first one. I should see the first one again.
You have to. The first one, I honestly think.
Well, first of all, you can't tell me what I have to
do. Okay, anyway, I think the first one is one of the best, like, kind of spy thriller type movies ever made.
I think that is a little extreme. Ever made?
Yes.
Maybe of that year.
No.
Ever made?
Ever made. One of the best spy thrillers ever. Fantastic film. Fantastic movie.
Cannonball Run. Horrible Bosses director Seth Gordon is already talking sequel. I don't like when they do that.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go see it.
But I will.
Okay.
After much research, scientists have determined what is the saddest movie of all time. Now, they did actual experiments and used actual formulas and tests.
Old Yeller.
What is the saddest movie
Old
of all
Yeller.
Time? No.
Gone with the Wind.
No. I'll give you a hint. It's from the 70s.
The 70s? I probably don't know the answer.
You probably don't.
Because I probably never saw it.
Probably not. I'll give you another hint. Someone dies in it.
That's not really a hint, since it's the saddest movie ever.
You're not going to get it.
I don't know.
The Champ.
I never saw that.
With John Voight, Faye Dunaway, and a little Ricky Schroeder.
A little, yeah. The Ricker.
That's all I can really take is a little Ricky Schroeder.
Well, then you're in luck because I don't think he's that big of a guy.
And well,
we are talking about the Ricker, right?
Okay. Chris Pine is the front runner right now to play RoboCop in the upcoming remake.
Wow, how about that? Does it really matter who they get to play him? He's only going to be visible for like 2 minutes, and the rest of the time he's going to be a robot. I mean, what is it?
Exactly.
They could cast me in that part.
I wish they'd put Crispin Glover as RoboCop.
I'm strong. I can kick.
Damn you. Lastly.
Hey, you. Get your damn hands off of her.
Helena Bonham Carter, Dwight Yoakam, and Barry Pepper are the latest stars added to the Lone Ranger cast.
Now, who's the director on that movie?
It's not Tim Burton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can we just say it's not Tim Burton? I need to look it up.
I didn't think anyone else would cast Helena Bonham Carter in anything.
Oh,
did you see the new Harry Potter movie, by the way?
I haven't seen the last three Harry Potter movies.
Oh, okay. I heard this last one's pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I've heard it's the best.
I've heard that too, as a matter of fact.
Gore Verbinski is the director.
Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. So he will take what could be a great movie and make it long and boring.
You didn't like any of the Pirates movies?
The first one I liked.
First one I liked, I didn't love.
It still could have been shaved a little and a little more exciting.
Lots of hair in that movie.
Lots of hair?
Yes, it could have been shaved a little. that's a good thing that we can use now. You know, the movie's a little hairy. They could have shaved some off.
Yeah. You know? That's nice.
I like that. All right, that's all we got for movies. So now
we're going
to
go
take
eat lunch.
A quick break, eat lunch, have a couple of drinks, and we'll be back to talk about everything else.
Yes.
Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
La mouche mouche.
Or as they say in French, la mouche mouche. I'm sure there's no word
for that. I have the first item here.
You do.
Singer Amy Winehouse, dead at 27.
Is anyone surprised by this? Raise your hand. I don't see any hands. I don't see any hands.
It's sad, though.
Is it?
It's not nice to make light.
No.
She's 27. With issues,
but
obviously.
Wasn't she dead because of her own choices?
Not
that that's any less sad, but still, I mean, you know, it's not like somebody killed her.
Yeah, but from what I heard, apparently, like, some of her friends were saying that, like, she had planned on dying at 27 because that's the magic rock star death number.
Oh, well, then it's not sad. It's business.
It's exactly what she wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I don't know anything about her.
Right.
I couldn't even name an Amy Winehouse song.
What?
I don't listen to current music. You know this.
If it were Buckner and Garcia, you'd know it.
Damn straight. Which Pac-Man Fever song should we play next? On the new K-Hits 104.9. A German fashion designer and microbiologist, because, yeah, I know, who isn't a fashion designer and a microbiologist, has figured out a way to extract a protein from milk that solidifies. It can then be used to make fibers and fabrics. People say the fabric has a silky feel to it. His new collection of female clothing is already out, and his men's line will be out sometime soon. But wouldn't you be afraid that
you'd
like... So
it also has a milky feel to it.
Not just silky, but milky. Wouldn't you be afraid that you'd be like wearing it, and then it would get hot outside, and it would just start to stink? Because that would be really gross. Oh, God.
Can you eat it?
Well, you could eat a regular shirt, too, but I don't think you'd want to.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A company called Freak, spelled F-R-E-Q, is determined to get us out of our headphone-wearing isolation and bring back the age of the boombox. They're releasing a new wireless speaker system called the 11S that works with iDevices and runs on rechargeable and replaceable batteries.
Does it just look like a boombox?
No, it actually looks really cool. It looks like, you know, kind of a typically sized hardcover book. But it's got some funky design on it. I did want to mention that story that I just mentioned. I found on a website that I had not heard of before that I actually really like. It's called Tech Cocktail. It's at techcocktail.com. And what's cool about it is it has a totally different vibe than sites like Engadget and Gizmodo. It's a lot more sort of adult oriented in terms of the fact that they mix in a lot of stuff about the business of tech companies and the sort of entrepreneurship about them. So I really kind of like it. And they have a lot of stuff that they write about and, you know, post about that I haven't seen on those other sites. So you might want to check that out. It's at techcocktail.com. Ferrari has just announced that moving forward, all new Ferrari cars except the 599 will get free scheduled maintenance, including labor, parts, and lubricants for 7 years. That is a pretty good deal. And if you're spending $300,000 on a car, you ought to get 7 years worth of free maintenance. Especially Ferraris, if you know what I'm saying. Bill Gates is helping to fund a company called TerraPower that's figured out a way to burn all sorts of uranium that's usually discarded as being unusable. Supposedly, when we get uranium, the uranium-238, which is like 99% of it, just gets discarded. Well, now they can use all that. The reactors, which are called traveling wave reactors, can burn all different kinds of uranium. In fact, enough to power the entire planet for about 1 million years. And the reactors are passively cooled.
It's a long time.
Yeah. The reactors are passively cooled, so they can't melt down, according to the company.
I had seen on the news this morning that Bill Gates Foundation is also researching into how to make a more efficient, using less water, toilet.
Yeah.
Because they say that the toilet hasn't really made any changes in the last, like, 40 to 50 years.
Yeah, I would say that's not totally true because there are a lot of toilets out now that are dual flush toilets. The toilets in our house are dual flush toilets. So if you're just going pee-pee, you know, for lack of a better word, there's a small flush button and then there's a big flush button for other times.
For the drop in the dookie.
Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so, and you know, toilets that used to use 5 gallons per flush now use, you know, 1.6 or something like that. And the dual flush ones, a lot of them use less than a gallon for the small flush already.
I need the 5 gallons.
Well, that's an issue that I don't want to get into.
Best taken up with your...
Any more about your colon expert? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay,
somebody.
Now you've gone too far.
Okay, whatever. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev wants a World of Warcraft-style video game to teach people about Russian history. Yeah. Good luck with that one, Dimmy. Korean Air is purportedly working on adding 3 full bar areas to each of its double-decker Airbus 380 aircraft. One in first class and 2 in business class.
And 1 for the pilots in the cockpit.
They already have one. the business class ones will be self-serve, which is pretty interesting since their drinks are comped, which means people can just go up and get wasted. And the first class ones, you know, we'll have bartenders and stuff. But, you know, that's nothing new. I remember when my family took a trip to Hawaii when I was I don't know, 13 years old or something like that.
Oh, is that when you guys found the tiki and it was cursed and
No, that was actually an
episode. You had to take it to the cave and Vincent Price tied you all to the...
No, that was an episode of the Brady Bunch. Oh, okay. That wasn't my family vacation. Did I tell you that happened to my family? That was such a great episode.
It really is.
I mean, you can still watch it now and it's good, you know? And it's got Vincent Price.
Yeah.
No, when we went to Hawaii, there was a bar. Like an actual bar. In fact, that was the first time I had ever seen a cocktail table version of a video game. They had cocktail table versions of Pong in the bar on the airplane on the way to Hawaii.
How old were you?
As a 13-year-old, I was like in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, my hormones were raging. There were people in bikinis in the bar on the plane. I don't know what was going on.
Dad was drunk.
Playing video games in the bar on the plane. Man, it was so cool. Well, now that the International Space Station is finished, the Russians are planning on deorbiting it into the ocean by the year 2020. So, glad we spent billions on that.
Can they just leave it there?
No. No, because what happens is there are so many issues with structural integrity because it was only planned to have a certain lifespan. And so it'll start to break down and, micrometeorites are also a problem. And if they hit something critical, it could fall in an unplanned way, whereas they can deorbit it to specifically land in the ocean. So, the first new phone to run Windows Mobile 7 Mango will be the Fujitsu Toshiba IS-12T, which is almost as catchy as iPhone or Thunderbolt. Why would you name a phone in this day and age? Why would you name a phone the IS-12T? Who's going to want to brag about that? What do you got? Yeah, I got the iPhone. Oh, I got the Thunderbolt. I got the Droid. I got the IS-12T Revision B. Pretty cool, man. Okay, in this episode's Apple rumors, the fruity one is preparing a larger 15-inch MacBook Air, supposedly. Leaked iPhone 5 case designs show a curved back and bigger screen, but I think we already had heard those rumors,
yes.
Right? But I guess now it's pretty much confirmed since the cases have them too. And next-gen Macs may get Retina displays just like the iPhone and iPad is supposed to. And finally, Apple may be interested in buying Hulu.
Yeah, that
won't
be good. Please,
God, do not let that happen.
That won't be good.
That would be horrible for anyone who enjoys life. Scientists are close to figuring out how to make batteries transparent, meaning that along with the transparent displays we already have, we may soon have cool, futuristic, see-through gadgets aplenty. A store in Tokyo called The Clone Factory will do a 3D scan of your head, clean up the code, and then use a 3D printer to make a hyper-realistic doll version of you, all for only $1,800 for what looks like about a 12-inch doll. It is so creepy. I mean, they're so realistic. You got to look it up. It's really gross.
Look it up.
It's really creepy. Speaking of crazy stuff going on in Asia, Chinese newspaper Sanxiang City reports that a couple named Li Lin and Li Zhuan sold each of their three kids after they were born so that they could spend the money playing video games at internet cafes.
I actually was going to report on that, and I thought it was too dark to put in.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they actually managed to escape the authorities until the mom's mother tattled on them. They sold the first kid for $500 and each of the next two kids for $4,600 each. The couple's rationale? We don't want to raise them. We just want to sell them for some money. Can you believe that? That was their answer to the
cops.
That's
very enterprising, actually.
Yeah. We don't want to raise them. We just want to sell them for some money.
These dolls,
they're terrifyingly creepy, aren't they?
They're so, like, realistic.
They look like a real person on a doll body. It's so creepy.
It's so creepy, but yeah. So cool.
Yeah. But $1,800, that's a lot of money. Finally, Top Gear... Why am I saying finally? This is not finally. Top Gear co-host Richard Hammond will get his own car show right here in the U.S.
Well, finally he's getting his own show.
Yeah. Called Hard Drive with Richard Hammond. Hammond will travel around the U.S. driving and competing in various U.S. vehicles. I don't really know that much about it, but I'm excited because I love Top Gear and Richard Hammond is funny.
I fell asleep halfway through that.
NASA has announced that they've selected Gate Crater as the landing site of their next Mars rover, Curiosity. I wonder if this will be the mission where NASA finally pretends to discover evidence of past alien life on Mars.
What does that mean?
You know, well, we're getting close to 2012, and, you know, the government's plan all along has been to fool us all into thinking we're being invaded by aliens. It's going to happen sometime soon. Mark my words.
More
you heard it here
conspiracy
first.
Theories.
You heard it here first, people. Well, nobody really seems to be using Google Plus that much. Oh, except for the 20 million unique visitors that they've had in the last 3 weeks. That's huge. But that might change now that Google Plus games are on their way. Yep, Farmville, Mafia Wars, they're all going to be making their way there. But I still don't understand what the point is, since you can already do all of this on Facebook.
Right.
I don't understand.
And all of your friends are already on Facebook.
Right. Like, I don't get what it is about Google Plus that they want us to think is different or better than Facebook that would compel people to start using it instead of Facebook. Now, I could see if they weren't going to have all those stupid games and all the other things that can mess with your privacy and all that and annoy the crap out of people who you barely know anyway. But since they're obviously doing all that, I really don't get it. Somebody needs to tell me. Now that the space shuttle program is done, Russia has touted this as the new Soyuz era. And if NASA wants to send anything into space in the next 5 years, we'll have to piggyback on a Soyuz rocket because we don't got nothing ourselves. And this is really a finally. Finally, excellent news for those of you smitten by the cool new Fiat Cinquecento. The Abarth version of the 500 will make its debut in the U.S. at the 2011 Los Angeles Auto Show in November. The 500 Abarth should make about 175 horsepower with its 1.4-liter turbo, which is quite a lot for a little car like that. So that is really cool. Because I didn't even know for sure if they were going to release the Abarth here, but apparently they are. So that's really cool. Plus, then you get to have a car with scorpions all over it, which is...
Do you want that?
I do. I do want that.
I don't understand why you'd want that.
Because it's pretty cool. And as always, this brings us to the point in the episode where we reveal our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week, or the last 2 weeks, I suppose.
Since Tony, the last episode.
Please give us your worst.
This is really bad, and this is something I'm making a promise that we will never do.
Uh-oh.
Well, because really? We'll probably never be in a position to do this.
Okay.
But, you know, I've talked about listening to Steve Dahl's podcast on previous podcasts.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this one.
Steve Dahl, for those of you that don't know, he was a, what you call him, a disc jockey?
Yeah, a radio personality.
Who had a show here, you know, since
I was
a kid.
For years.
And, you know, he was always on the radio. It was always free. And then at the last station, he was...
Give a little bit more history, because he was, you know, he was often considered by many people to be...
The precursor to Howard Stern.
The precursor to Howard Stern. Yeah. Whereas Howard Stern says
And Steve Dahl will tell you that himself.
Right.
Which,
well, Steve Dahl likes to... talk about Steve Dahl a lot. Yeah. But, you know, Howard Stern has always dismissed Steve Dahl as, you know, whatever, dude.
Right.
But, I mean, Steve Dahl has been doing what he's been doing for a long time. And for a long time, he had a partner on the radio named Gary Meyer. And they had a falling out when Gary got married because Gary's wife didn't like some things that Steve said about the two of them. And they got in a big fight. And then and they weren't together anymore. And then a number of years later... on the air, they sort of made up a little bit, and there was even talk that they might get back together and do a show together again.
And Gary, let me just say, has a show right now on the air.
Where's he on now?
Oh, he's been on for a couple years now. WGN, I want to say.
Really?
Yeah. And he always does little bits on WGN Morning News. And
oh, okay.
And he's all over the place now, more than he was.
But is it his show, or does he just do stuff on other people's
else.
Show? Oh, okay.
But it's his show.
Yeah.
Much like Steve Dahl's was his show.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Gary's had his own show before. He also had another. He was with part of
But his
with,
show now is doing pretty well from under.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I feel bad that I didn't know he had a show because I like Gary. Yeah. He's a good guy. But anyway, so then why don't you talk about what happened?
Well, then Steve was on the radio. He switched to another station, which was an all music station.
Except for his show.
And then they realized, you know, because he was a legend, they brought him on. I mean, they were excited to have him. But then they realized that listenership and the way they did ratings at the time didn't really show that there was a big increase from when they were just playing music. But yet the production costs, I mean, just to pay him.
Right.
And all of his staff and, you know, production costs on top of it.
Because he makes like over $1 million a year.
Right. He was making about $1 million a year.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a lot more than they weren't reaping the rewards.
Right.
Like they were better off just having.
It was not a good ROI.
Right.
Yes.
So, so what they did was they fired him, but like he got to, you know.
Well, they took his show off the air, but they didn't really fire him. They were going to continue paying his contract through the end of the contract.
But he wasn't. Well, he wasn't on the
radio anymore.
So that's. I mean.
And he had a non-compete, so he couldn't go on the radio anywhere else.
Right.
Through the end of his contract.
Correct. And so what he was doing, and. he was doing a podcast, free podcast, obviously, as 99.9% of podcasts are.
Right.
And, you know, his plan was to do that until he went back on the radio when his contract was up. So just like 3 weeks ago, his contract came up and everyone was waiting for the big announcement as to what radio station he was going to or whether it was going to satellite or, you know, what his plan was.
Right.
And his plan was, and let me just say, I used to listen to his podcast religiously and because he's funny and, you know, he does talk about himself a lot and he's a little, you know, likes arrogant. To talk about all the things he has you know.
He's kind of like your friend that everyone kind of loves to hate a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. He's fun, like, to hang around, but like...
Yeah, he's fun to hang around, and deep down he's a good guy, but he's just obnoxious.
Yeah, and self-centered, and it's all about him.
Right.
Well, then his big announcement as to what he was going to do after his contract was up was that he was going to charge $10 a month for his podcast. So the thing you've been getting for free...
Right.
It isn't going to change at all.
Right.
But now you're going to have to pay $10 a month for it.
Right.
When, for $10 a month, you could, for just a little more than $10 a month, you could subscribe to satellite
XM
radio.
Or Sirius or whatever.
Which
yeah.
is like 250 plus channels.
Right.
You could, let's not to mention that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of podcasts for free.
Yeah. Many thousands. Yeah.
And, you know, he only does like an hour and a half a day,
right.
5 days a week.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, as much as I enjoy listening to him, it completely... I mean, I haven't listened to him since he made that announcement.
Right.
And
even
I mean,
though it's still free right
until
now,
August 1st.
Yeah. So, and there's been a huge backlash, right?
Completely, yeah. Well, and he even came out and said, well, I have 17,000 listeners a day. All I need are 10,000 to pay the, you know, $10
right.
for me to, like, continue to make what he's making.
Right.
And pay his staff and everything. But he's not making any changes. He's doing it from the basement of his house. He doesn't even leave his house.
Right.
And all he does is he talks about, you know, all the things he, like his box seats at the hockey game, his box seats at the baseball
right.
game. And
you know,
that
was, I have to say, that's actually one of the reasons I stopped listening to him so much. Not because he talks about all the stuff he has, but because the last X number of years, he talks about sports so much. And I have zero interest in sports right. whatsoever. And he's like...
well, he only talks about things he wants to talk about.
Right.
I mean, he
right.
it's all about him.
Right, but he used to be a lot more varied. And he used to, when he was with Gary and stuff, you know, he used to do like goofy bits and stuff like that were funny at least at the time.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of that.
You know, and he doesn't do any of that. And it's like, and every time he has guests on, it's either the same like three musical performers that he's a huge fan of and is friends with, or sports people.
Right.
And it's like, I don't care about any of that. So, I don't know.
So, I mean, this is worse to me just because, you know, I enjoyed him and he's someone that we grew up with. So
right.
there's that.
Right.
I think if I just stumbled onto him,
then you'd
I
like,
probably
well, whatever,
wouldn't
even
like
even
him.
Care,
like,
yeah,
who is this guy where all he does is talk about are the things he has? But to think, you know, to have an ego to think that people, especially, I would imagine most of his listeners are like blue collar, working class. Who's going to spend the $10 a month?
Well, I think this goes back to the whole rivalry that he has in his head with Howard Stern, because Howard Stern went exclusively to satellite radio and all his listeners followed him, basically.
Right.
I mean, the vast majority of his listeners followed him, and that's one of the main reasons that that business, you know, was still doing well for a while. Because it's not doing well anymore, right?
No.
Yeah. And there's not two anymore. Sirius and XM, it's the same company now, right? And you know, I thought I heard that they might be shutting their doors, basically.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
I mean, I don't know if that's true, but...
But just the ego involved to think that, you know, well, first of all, what about, okay, even if the 10,000 people, which it's not going to happen. I mean, there's been so much backlash and he's caught in so much hell for it. And I would love, I know we'll never know the numbers that he actually pulls in.
Yeah.
You know, right. of how many people were actually paying the $10 a month. But first of all, who would ever like, he'd never get new listeners.
Right.
So all those people that those first amount of subscribers he's going to have are will be the highest he's ever had.
Right.
Because it'll just go down from there because people
right.
aren't going to continue to
no.
pay that.
No.
People start to drop off. But what about the other 7,000? Even if you got the 10,000, what about the other 7,000 fans you had who were so loyal to you? You're just like, well, screw you. You're not going to pay the $10. You know,
right.
you don't get to listen.
Right. It's really weird.
It's so egotistical, and I really hope it fails. And really, ever since he made this announcement, it's completely put him in a different light for me, and I refuse to listen.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
It's my worst. But, I've been turned on to other podcasts that I'm enjoying. Right. So.
And I really am sorry to hear that because it's like I was talking about before. You don't want to, you know, it's like that old saying about never meet your heroes. Right. You know what I mean? It's like you never want to hear that somebody that you like is a total jerk.
Even though you can tell by his show.
Yeah, right. But you know, I've met Steve. I've worked with him a little bit. And he was a perfectly nice guy to work with. He does have an ego. He's obnoxious, but he's a nice guy. So it's disappointing that, you know, he would do something like that. When is Gary's show on? Is it on the mornings?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm in the car for 10 minutes on the way to work. I don't really have a lot of time to listen to the radio.
Yeah. And you're listening to your Buckner Garcia.
I'm one of those people who can't listen to anything while I'm working, like especially while I'm programming. I can't have any sound going on or I can't think straight. So, I don't listen to the radio at work, and it's kind of a drag because I really like Gary a lot. I think he's a good guy, and I liked Steve and Gary together.
But they would never be again like they were before.
No, they're too old to be the way they were before. You know, it's just naturally it would be a different dynamic because they're not interested in or going to make fun of the same things.
3 to 7, he's on.
Oh, that's not bad. So maybe I could listen to him on the way home. On GN?
Yep.
Oh, okay. And does he have a sidekick or is he the sidekick? Or
it doesn't show a sidekick.
It's just the Gary Meyer show? Yeah. Wow. Huh, that's interesting.
I want to say that he, like Steve, though, he has...
other people with him. Yeah, I think he would sort of have to.
Well, yeah, you can't just sit there and talk to yourself.
No. I've tried that. It is not fun. And my wife thinks it's
strange. Anyway, enough about Steve Dahl.
Okay,
that's all I'll ever say again about Steve Dahl.
So there you go. So my worst entertainment moment of the week. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that about the Fiat 500 Abarth that's coming later this year or next year or whatever. You know, it's been a long time since you could buy a mass-produced Italian car in the United States legally. You know what I mean? I mean, there's the gray market and people will bring stuff over every now and again. But I mean, I can't remember the last time Fiat was sold here. I can't remember, you know, it's been a long time since Alfa Romeo was sold here. And, you know, you can't count the Lamborghinis and Maseratis and Ferraris because most people can't afford those cars. So I think it's pretty cool. And you know, I'm tempted to buy one just because of the tie to my heritage and stuff like that. And because I do think it's a really cool little car. And so Tony and I have talked about test driving one so that we could talk about it on the podcast here. Well, I have been to the for those of you who don't really follow the car world, the reason Fiat is being sold here now is because Fiat has a stake in Chrysler ever since the big meltdown with the U.S., you know, car industry. And so the Fiat dealerships, and the 500 is the only car they're selling here right now. Fiat dealerships are associated with a Chrysler dealership. So the Chrysler dealership here in the town where the offices are has a Fiat dealership.
The Pause.com offices.
That's right. Thank you. In case you didn't know what you were listening to. There's a Fiat dealer right down the street from us. I have been there now 8 times to try to test drive this car. And not once have I seen a person who works there or been approached by anybody who works there. I have been there eight times.
So you go there and there's no one
there. You go there. The doors to the building are open. There's cars. There's brochures on a counter. And there are no people there. Nobody works there. And the Chrysler dealership, which is right next door, right across the service entrance driveway, nobody has ever like seen me in there and come over to talk to me. Now, I'm assuming that they opened and started selling cars before they were really ready to, and that all of this will be resolved and they'll actually have employees, you know, working there and stuff. But one time I even went over to the Chrysler dealership and I said, you know, I'm trying to test drive this car. We want to talk about it on our podcast. And, you know, there's never been anybody over here. No. And the guy said, oh, let me get somebody's card for you. Yeah, he knows some stuff about the Fiat. I'm like, you guys are selling these cars and there's one guy here who knows some stuff about the Fiat. It just seems like they're not taking it seriously, which is really a shame because if you remember when the Mini was first launched here, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without being inundated with ads for the Mini. They were everywhere. They were on billboards, buses, magazines, on TV, on the radio. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, every once in a while I see an ad for Fiat, the Fiat or 500 or whatever. And it just, I don't know. I'm hoping that the next time we go back there, they're going to have it all squared away and we can have our test drive. Because it really is a cool little car. Have you seen it up close?
Well, yeah, it was just in Italy.
No, I mean, like, have you sat in it and seen the interior and stuff? It's really cool. It's really cool.
But I'm renting a car when I go back there, so maybe I'll...
And they have the, what's called the, I forget what it's called, pop version, I think. And then there's the sport version. And then there's a cabrio with a cloth top that, you know, slides back. And then the Abarth, which is coming either later this year or next year, which is like the really sporty version. The three versions that they have now all have the same engine and drivetrain, whereas the new one will have a bigger engine and it'll be turbocharged. So it should be a lot faster.
And you like all your cars to be turbo.
I do. I do. Yeah. I do like a turbo car. Yeah, it's true. That's a that's an inside joke that Tony just made there.
Yeah, but inside just between you and I.
And one other guy who we've heard was dead. So
why would you say that?
Because I did hear that he was dead, and I don't know if it's true. So
if you're listening and you're not dead.
I don't think he would know it's him that we're talking about.
So really, it's an inside joke between you and I.
Right. Okay, fine. All right, so what about your best entertainment moment of the week?
Well, you know, I make no bones about the fact that I'm not a huge fan of musicals, but one of my favorite movies of all time is the classic West Side Story.
Are you being serious that you're not a fan of musicals?
No,
I thought
really.
You loved musicals.
No.
Oh.
What would make you say that? I've said many times that I'm not a fan of musicals.
Oh, okay. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean, I like a couple of the classics, like, well, of course, West Side Story, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Sure.
You know, Sound of Music, because I grew up with it. But no, I don't. What are you whispering?
I'm, you know, doing that.
Well, anyway, right now they have brought the Broadway production of West Side Story to Chicago.
Yep.
And reluctantly, I bought tickets.
Okay.
I'm just like, well, I don't want to let it pass. I'm like, it's one of my favorite movies, and I've never really seen them other than this recent, you know, bringing it back to Broadway. I've never really seen them do that in my lifetime. I have where you could see West Side Story live.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I'll go.
Well, I mean, not least, a big production. I mean, it's always there's always some little production.
There's a high school or like a community production.
Yeah.
But so I decided, well, I'll go see it. I love the movie and, you know, I'll give it a shot. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And loved there's nobody famous in it?
No.
That's so weird.
No. Well, that would ruin it. That would ruin it.
Well, I don't think so. There's almost always one famous person in a musical that's brought from Broadway. You know, your Constantine Maroulis, your Donny Osmond. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean slightly famous people.
You know what I'm talking about. Somebody who you'd recognize.
Well, no, that's the last few I saw didn't have anyone famous in it.
Oh, okay.
When I saw In the Heights, there was no one famous in it. When I saw Jersey Boys, there was no one famous in it.
Yeah.
Okay, I know I've said I don't like musicals.
This is what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, those.
When I saw Mamma Mia, there was nobody famous in it.
No, I would never go see that. West Side Story's a classic. It's one of my favorites. I grew up with it, but live, like, this production was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, cool.
The dancing was just unbelievable. The singing, I think it was well cast. I mean, it wasn't. I'm glad that they didn't cast, so it was like the people in the movie.
Right.
But you still bought them as the characters.
Yeah.
It was pretty close interpretation. I mean, it was like, you know, they didn't change much at all.
Right.
I mean, all the dancing from what I could see was the same and the songs and all that. I loved it. So if it comes to your town or if you're in this town, definitely urge you to go see it.
Cool. And, you know, don't knock community theater. You got to remember that a lot of people who perform in community theater are actors who just haven't made it big yet but are still very good actors. And performers and stuff like that.
And some of them are the town firemen who just got bit by the acting bug.
Well, that's true too sometimes. But no, they usually don't make it. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about community theater in...
I'm thinking like Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. We're near Chicago. You got to keep that in mind. There's a lot of good community theater around here. Not that I ever go to it, but I'm just saying there is. I know a lot of people who perform in community theater and they're very good actors. And singer.
Name
and
three.
I can't because that would be a conflict of interest. Using the public airwaves for personal gain. And I refuse to partake in anything like that.
Okay.
But if any of you want to send us money, I'm all for that. I'm just kidding. My best entertainment moment of the week, definitely the end of season two of Smallville. It was really, really cool.
Really? Smallville is your best entertainment moment of the week?
Well, I haven't done a lot.
Buffy?
I've never seen that.
No, I'm calling you Buffy. Okay, let me change your name. Bippy?
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to give you some little, like some snotty white girl's name.
Felicia.
There you go.
I don't get it.
Well, because I still look at that as like a teenage girl show.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh my God, this week's Smallville was so fantastic.
No, it was just, it was really good. It was really suspenseful, yeah. And there was a lot of like kind of edge of your seat kind of stuff.
And they finally made it to the prom.
There still has been no prom since earlier in this program. There was a turnabout dance, I believe.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
Or a spring formal or something. I don't remember. It was only the focus of like four or five episodes. It was fine. But it was really good. Although the new season of Storage Wars is a close second because it's been really funny. Although I feel like with Storage Wars, with the new season, I almost feel like, I don't know, it's hard for me to accept that they almost always find something interesting in everything that we see them buy on the show.
Well, they're only showing you what they want you to see. There may be many like loser storage.
I understand.
Places
and certainly
showing.
The last episode that I talked about when the auctioneer's wife was doing it, there were a lot of those. In fact, all of them except for one pretty much. But it still seems weird that they always find something of value in these things. Like, because, you know, they do these, all the storage places do these auctions. It's not just a thing out in California.
Right.
They all do these. The storage place, you know, where I have some stuff stored right now, you know, you can just go online and see when they're doing their auctions and anyone can go. But
what's the rule again? Like, they open it up for like...
They open it up. You have 5 minutes to look inside. You can't go inside. You can't open any boxes.
You can just look
and see what you can see from the outside. And then if you buy it, you pay cash for it. There's no credit cards, no checks, no nothing. And I believe the auction companies take like maybe 30%, uh-huh. And the storage facility gets the rest. And the person whose stuff it is gets a big fat goose egg. And that's the other thing is we can't figure out why so many people are defaulting on their storage lockers. Like, okay, let's say you knew that you weren't going to be able to pay for your storage locker anymore and you had a Jaguar in it, like was on one episode. Wouldn't you just go get the car before you could not afford to pay for it anymore?
What if they were killed?
Well, that's true, but there's a surprisingly strange ratio of murders to storage unit renters then because... I mean, there's so much valuable stuff left in these things. It's ridiculous. And the guy that runs the place where I have a storage unit said that it's tragic because we call people for 3 months. They wait until after they've already defaulted, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they call them for like 3 months. And if they don't get paid in 3 months, then they put it up for auction. And he said almost every time, at least half the people after the auction will call and be like, where's my stuff? It's like, well, I've been trying to contact you for 3 months. You never called me back. It's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, I guess they signed a contract.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing they can do about it. And it's their own fault.
I can't believe you still have that storage space. You've had that forever.
I got two now. I have one.
Those are expensive.
I have one here, and I have one for my personal stuff. The one, I'm getting rid of both of them soon. The one, the personal stuff one, we were just using to move stuff back and forth while we were moving. Uh-huh. And all the stuff that's in there, we're going to sell at a garage sale. So, or, you know, donate, whatever.
But why did you just throw it away? Because what you're spending, you're not going to make at the garage sale.
I'm spending $40 a month.
That's all you're spending?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were like $100 a month.
Well, it depends on what size you get.
But I've seen yours. I thought it was...
The one for the business? That one's bigger.
The personal stuff. Remember the day I came out here to visit you and then you had me move stuff?
Oh.
Unbeknownst to me.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It's clear in my mind.
That was only $40 a month. The
really?
One for here
That's
is
so
more.
Cheap.
The one for here is about 100. But I got to clear it out. There's no reason to
Maybe
keep that.
Maybe it's just cheaper out here.
Well, I'm sure it's more expensive in the city, too.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like 2.5 times because we were looking at getting one and it's like $100.
Yeah. Well, this one that I have for my work is more expensive, too.
But that's not the one I'm referring to.
I know, but it's the same size as the other one. Oh. It's just sideways instead of the long way. But it's $100 and that one's $40 because even though they're both... indoors, this one is climate controlled and that one isn't. So when it gets hot outside or cold outside, that one's hot or cold, whereas this one's always heat and air conditioned.
Ah.
So you can store...
You can live in it.
Well, I think that's against the law, but...
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's not residentially
But
zoned.
You're paying for it.
Okay. I'm not going to have this conversation.
I mean, can't you just sleep
this
there?
This is a conversation for a lawyer.
Can't you... can't you just sleep there?
Yes, you can sleep there. Go ahead. I'll give you the key. Knock yourself out.
I don't mean me. But it is possible to sleep there. Because you have a key to the place, right?
There's no bathroom. There's no plumbing. There's no light.
Just to sleep.
Okay, fine. Why are we having this conversation?
Well, because that might be a cheap way to, like...
Okay, fine. You could also get one of those abandoned railroad cars or...
Listen, all you need is, like, a gym membership and a storage unit, and you're good to go.
You're set. You don't even need that. If you're small enough, you could just get a post office box.
Now you're being silly.
All right, well, that's it for our best and worst and pretty much everything else, I'm pretty sure. I bet, you know what, though? I wouldn't be surprised to learn if people had done that.
Well, if they're really desperate. Hard times?
Hey, times are tough.
Really? Gym membership and a storage unit. That's all you need.
YMCA, library card, storage unit.
What's the library card for?
Well, you know, reading material.
Well, you'll have a laptop or an iPad.
You got money for that.
Oh, I got gambling money.
Exactly. All right, well, thanks as always for listening. Keep those cards and letters coming. Thank you to our new listeners. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye. I thought you were going to say it in French.
Oh.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Or bonsoir.
Uh-huh.
Or
bonjour, Mr. Pussycat.
Or isn't there something else that you say?
Ta-ta.
No. And I'm not talking about sacré bleu or zut alors. But I'll throw those in anyway. All right, but seriously, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.